In preparation for this message, I came across an interesting article titled Contagious Kindness Virus, written by Philip Anderson on the Independent Living website. Philip was described as an advocate for barrier-free accessibility, equality, and inclusiveness for persons with disabilities. After giving some examples of some acts of kindness that he received, he challenged the readers to catch the kindness virus. I like the way he expressed this challenge when he stated, "The kindness virus is free and lingers in everyone, ready to be unleashed and become a contagion. Those who are actively infected demonstrate extraordinary kindness and generosity of spirit. Given both the carrier of the virus and the infected recipient an infusion of joy and life-enhancing mutual lifting of spirits, the kindness virus magnifies the best of humanity." I like that quotation. Indeed, as we continue to cope with the COVID-19 crisis, it is my prayer that we will all catch the kindness virus and spread it around on a daily basis to the glory of God. The message God laid on my heart this morning is based on the exceptional kindness that King David showed to Mephibosheth, who was the son of Jonathan. Mephibosheth became lame in both his feet in unfortunate circumstances described in 2 Samuel chapter 4 verse 4. He was 5 years old when the sad news about the death of Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. The lady looking after him picked him up and fled. But as she hurried to leave, Mephibosheth fell and became lame in both his feet. The title of the message is God Has Not Forgotten You. God has not forgotten you. And I would like us to focus on the following points. Are you a reliable friend? God can reach you in low debar. And thirdly, God has made great provisions for us. Let us consider those 3 points in detail. The first one, are you a reliable friend? In 2 Samuel 9 verse 1, David indicated that he was going to show kindness to the house of Saul for the sake of Jonathan. As we know, Jonathan was King Saul's son and he was a very close friend of David. Jonathan gave David great support, and even when it became clear to Prince Jonathan that David would be the next king, their friendship remained strong. You can see this in 1 Samuel 23 verses 16 to 17. During their friendship, David agreed to the following request from Jonathan, and it was included in a covenant. We read this in 1 Samuel 20, 14 to 15. "And you shall not only show me the kindness of the Lord while I still live, that I may not die, but you shall not cut off your kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord has cut off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth." David's action described in 2 Samuel chapter 9 was a fulfillment of that promise. David showed that he was a true and reliable friend. It would have been easy for David to ignore the promise he made to Jonathan, especially after the death of Jonathan. But David remained faithful and kept that promise. Are you good at keeping promises? Are you keeping the promises you made to Jesus? Can you be counted as one of Christ's reliable friends? Are you keeping the promises you made to your spouse and other members of your family? Are you keeping the promises you made to your brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you their reliable friend? It is important to note that in 2 Samuel 9:3, David said he wanted to show God's kindness to the house of Saul. This is a recognition by David that God is the real source of this extraordinary kindness that he was going to show to the house of Saul, a king who tried many times to kill him. Indeed, it is not surprising that kindness is listed in Galatians 5:22 as part of the fruit of the Spirit. True kindness originates from God. It is God who can help us help those who are helpless. It is God who can help us repay hatred with love. Through Jesus Christ, we have received God's extraordinary kindness. Let us share that kindness with others through helping them as the Holy Spirit directs us. Let's now look at the second key point. God can reach you in Lo Debar. Ziba was a former servant of King Saul, and he knew where to find Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan. According to 2 Samuel 9:2, King David asked the question, "Are you Ziba?" The answer Ziba gave to this question caught my attention. He replied, "At your service." Apart from his politeness, this answer showed clearly that he was prepared to do what the king wanted him to do. He was available to do the will of the king. Are you prepared to do God's will in all areas of your life? Is God showing you an area in which you can serve him in our fellowship or in your community? Perhaps during this lockdown period, God has opened your eyes to see new or better ways in which you can serve him when the lockdown is over. Are you prepared to say to King Jesus today, "At your service"? It is a real privilege to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As we see in 2 Samuel 9:4, Ziba told King David that Mephibosheth was in the town of Lo Debar, which was located in Gilead, east of the Jordan River. As the surviving prince from the house of Saul, Mephibosheth probably did not expect anyone from the palace in Jerusalem to have kind thoughts towards him. The handicapped Mephibosheth was probably living in fear, and he also had a very low opinion of himself. According to 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 8, he regarded himself as a dead dog or a worthless and useless person. However, God was working in the heart of King David and was going to use him to bring a big change to Mephibosheth's life. Is God speaking to you about someone he wants you to help? If so, please do not hesitate to obey him. Your obedience can make a big difference to someone else's life. Do you yourself need urgent help? Just as God sent unexpected help to Mephibosheth in Lodebar, God can send you the help you need. I encourage you to trust him to do that for you. King David sent for Mephibosheth, and as we see in 2 Samuel 9:7, on arrival at the palace, David calmed the mind of Mephibosheth with the words, "Do not fear," or "fear not." Seen from Mephibosheth's angle, he had some reasons to fear. He was probably told stories about the deep hatred his grandfather Saul had towards David. Consequently, Mephibosheth might have been afraid that revenge awaited him in the palace. David could have detected fear and uneasiness on the face of Mephibosheth. So, the words, "Do not fear," were words of assurance. In 2 Samuel 9:7, King David gave the reason why Mephibosheth should not fear. King David said, "Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake." Mephibosheth should have peace of mind because of the great regard that David had for Jonathan. I wonder what fear you are struggling with today. Is it fear of illness? Is it fear of catching the new coronavirus? Is it fear of dying? Is it fear of losing your job? Is it fear of failure? Whatever it may be, I believe that the Almighty God is saying to you, "Do not fear. I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Praise the Lord. During World War II, a military governor met with General George Patton in Sicily. When he praised Patton highly for his courage and bravery, the general replied, "Sir, I am not a brave man. The truth is, I am a coward. I have never been within the sound of gunshot or in sight of battle in my whole life that I wasn't so scared that I had sweat in the palms of my hands." Years later, when Patton's autobiography was published, it contained this significant statement by the general: "I learned very early in my life never to let my fears take control of me." The secret to how King David controlled his fears is recorded in Psalm 56, verses 1 to 4, and I read, "Be merciful to me, my God, for my enemies are in hot pursuit. All day long, they press their attack. My adversaries pursue me all day long. In their pride, many are attacking me. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust, and I am not afraid. What can mortals do to me? So his secret was, when he was afraid, he put his trust in the Almighty God. May God help us to follow David's example by confronting our fears with total trust in the Almighty God. Furthermore, as I mentioned earlier on, Mephibosheth was lame in both his feet at the age of 5 years due to no fault of his. This is a reminder that we sometimes face major problems in life due to no fault of ours. It could be that you were injured badly in an accident due to another person's fault. It could even be that you inherited a serious illness from your parents. Under those circumstances, we are tempted to ask, why me? And if we are not careful, we could become bitter about it. If you are in this kind of situation, I encourage you to let this handicap or problem drive you closer to God. While we may never get the answer to the question, why me, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can become stronger in our faith through such difficult circumstances of life. It is my prayer that, like Apostle Paul, you will find God's grace to be sufficient for you and enjoy his strength in your weakness, according to 2 Corinthians 12:9. Let us now go to the last important point. God has made great provisions for us. God has made great provisions for us. In 2 Samuel 9, verses 7 to 11, we see that King David made short and long-term provisions for the welfare of Mephibosheth. Saul's land was restored to Mephibosheth. Ziba and his household will farm for Mephibosheth and generally look after him. In verse 10, we notice that Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. That is a lot of people to look after Mephibosheth. And of course, Mephibosheth will always eat at King David's table. In verse 11, we see that Mephibosheth will be treated as one of the king's sons. This is a great honor and a great privilege for him to be treated as one of the princes. The generous behavior of David towards Mephibosheth reminds us of God's great love for us. It is a reminder of God's amazing grace that saved us from our sins. Mephibosheth did not do anything to deserve the kindness that King David lavished on him. Mephibosheth clearly recognized that he did not deserve the king's generosity based on his response after some of his benefits were revealed to him. His response is in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 8. We referred to this earlier, but I'll read it. Then he bowed himself and said, "What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I?" Although this could be a demonstration of humility, as I said earlier on, describing himself as a dead dog was a way of saying that he was worthless and useless. It could also be an admission that he would never be in a position to repay the king for his great kindness. Indeed, Mephibosheth enjoyed royal treatment because of something his father Jonathan did, not because of anything that he, Mephibosheth, did. In a similar way, it is what Jesus did for us on the cross at Calvary that has made it possible for us to become children of God. As indicated in Ephesians 2, 8-9, we are saved by grace through faith and not by any good thing we have done. And in John chapter 1, verse 12, those who receive Christ become adopted princes and princesses of the Almighty God. It is a thing of great joy to know also that in Jesus Christ, God has made short and long-term provisions for our lives here on earth and in heaven. God gives us the physical and spiritual resources we need to live for Him here on earth, and on one glorious day, Jesus will come back to take us to our eternal home in heaven. We see this in John 14, verses 1 to 3. Furthermore, Mephibosheth's privilege of eating at the king's table reminds us that there was a great banquet mentioned by Jesus Christ in Luke 14, 15 to 24. We are invited to eat with the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. However, we have the option to accept or reject that invitation. I urge you to accept this great invitation. Remember that Mephibosheth could have rejected all the provisions David made for him, but he accepted them all. He could have decided to go back to Lodebar, but he decided to remain in Jerusalem and enjoy all the benefits that David had given him. In conclusion, we have examined the topic, God has not forgotten you, and we focused on the following points. Are you a reliable friend? God can reach you in Lodebar, and God has made great provisions for us. Are you a reliable friend of Jesus? Can you be trusted by those you interact with? Many times we feel afraid, But how do you deal with your fear? I urge you to apply the same method that David did by trusting in the Almighty God. Confront your fears with trust in the Almighty God. Is God asking you to show His kindness to someone? If so, please do so without delay. Do you need God's kindness? Pray for His help and trust Him to send someone to show you His kindness in a special way. Today is Father's Day, and we thank God for all those who are fathers in our church. May God bless, guide, and strengthen us all, and help us to live exemplary lives. One of the privileges we have when we accept Jesus as our Savior and Lord is that we can truly call God our Father. In Romans 8:15, we read the following: "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." What a great privilege to be able to call the Almighty God our Father. He is my Father. Is He your Father? The story of Mephibosheth is the story of God's amazing grace. And I believe God is extending to you the free gift of salvation today. It is my prayer that you will accept that free gift. The free gift has been paid for by our Lord Jesus Christ when He died for us on the cross. If you have already accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord, is there any area of your life where you are disappointing God? Is there anything He wants you to do? Is there an area where you need to submit to His will? If so, I pray that you will rededicate your life to Him and say, "At your service, my Lord." I challenge you also to share the good news of Jesus with those the Lord leads you to. May God interpret the words of this message into our hearts. Amen and amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this message. We thank you for the kindness that you have shown us through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the privilege that we have of calling you our Father, Abba Father. I pray, O God, that you will bless all fathers in our midst. I pray, O God, that you guide them with wisdom from above. I pray, O God, that you strengthen them, especially at this time of isolation and lockdown. Dear Father, I pray that you help the fathers to lead their children in the way of the Lord. And our dear loving Heavenly Father, we also would like to pray for those people who have lost loved ones as a result of the coronavirus. We pray, O God, that you will comfort them deeply. We also pray for those who have been infected and are struggling in hospitals, in care homes, in clinics, in their homes as well, in some cases, and in other places, Lord. We pray that you will touch them and heal them completely. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will also protect the rest of us from infection. We thank you for those who are working on the front line. Thank you for the NHS staff. Thank you for those in our church. We thank you for every one of them. We pray that you will protect them from infection, strengthen them, and help them, Lord, to help others. Dear Lord, we want to pray for the researchers as well as they continue to look for an effective cure and vaccine. We thank you for some good news that we had recently about a drug that was tried by a group in Oxford. We pray, Lord, that more successes will come and your name will be glorified. We pray for our leaders, Lord. We pray for wisdom from above. Help them, Lord, to put in place policies that would indeed make things better. And Father, we just want to thank you for our church. We pray that you help each and every one of us, those who are struggling with illnesses. We pray, Lord, that you touch them and heal them. And in particular, we pray for relatives who are going through tough times. We remember Jake. Lord, we are praying for a miracle. Touch Jake, O Lord, and do what seems impossible. Lord, make him completely well. We know that with you, nothing shall be impossible. So thank you, Lord, for hearing us. We pray that this message will bear fruit in our lives and in the lives of all others who are hearing and watching this program. Thank you, Lord. We ask all these things in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen and amen. We now want to close with a solo which will be done by one of us, Sheye. And the solo is a song that talks about the love of Jesus Christ. What a friend. What a friend. And I would like to read the first verse of that song. It reads as follows. Everybody has trials and temptations. Everybody knows heartbreak, isolation. But we can lay our burdens down. Lay our burdens down. And the chorus says, what a friend we have in Jesus. East to west, my sins are gone. I see grace on every horizon. And forever and ever, his heart is my home. May God bless you as you listen to this song. And thank you again for watching. May God bless you.